Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been obsessed with finding something? Say, for instance, you lost your wallet, right? It might contain credit cards, it might contain cash, it might have, you know, a driver's license or an ID of some type, any number of things that you just really don't want to lose. And that also includes the time you're going to have to spend to search for it. You don't want to lose time and having to, you know, call all your financial institutions and cancel your credit cards and make sure that nothing is compromised that shouldn't be. There's a little anxiety involved, right? Whether it's a wallet or cash or whatever it may be, when you lose something, we get anxious. Okay? Especially if it's something you really want. And so what happens when you notice that you've misplaced something? Well, you immediately start looking around. You start looking to try and find it. You know, it even goes so far as, you know, you check your pocket a dozen times. You might check, you know, under the bed, and you'll tear the cushions off the couch. You know, one time when I lost my wallet, I opened the refrigerator. It wasn't in the refrigerator. But you start looking in places where it might not even be, because you are just so anxious and so obsessed with trying to find your lost possession. Now, hopefully you find it. And if you do, and when you do, there is great relief. The anxiety sort of slips away. You know, you can rejoice, because what was lost has now been found. And it makes us think, you know, it'd be nice if there was something that existed that would basically, you know, make your possessions just sort of like jump out of their hiding place and say, "I'm right here." But that's not quite the way it works. It's up to us to find it. Now, this isn't unlike our parables for today. You see, in the first parable, we hear about how there is one sheep out of 100 that is lost. What does the shepherd do? He goes and he searches for it. He leaves the 99 in the open country and he sets out to find his lost sheep. When he finds it, there is much rejoicing, because what was lost is now found. And the second parable is just like it, right? A woman has 10 coins. And if you know anything about, you know, these silver coins called a drachma, then one coin was worth 10 days' wages. And so she has 100 days' wages, and she loses 10 of them, right? One silver coin. Well, what do you do when you lose money? You search for it, right? You try to find it, of course. And upon finding it, what does she do? She rejoices. For what was lost is now found. But if we want to fully understand these parables, we have to understand why Jesus is telling them to us, why Jesus is speaking these stories at all. And so at the very beginning of our gospel text, we heard these words. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see, Jesus is perfectly happy to associate himself with sinners. And don't even think just, you know, because we think of sinners and we think, oh, it's not so bad. But think about this. It's literally the scum of the earth. The worst of the worst people in Jesus' time. And Jesus is okay to say, "Bring them on. Come near to me. Listen to me teach." Jesus is ready to receive these people. See, Jesus doesn't see the degraded ones of society, those who cannot deny their sin because they are so known in the public realm. It's not like he turns his nose up and just sort of says, "Go away." He doesn't dismiss the sinner. Instead, he welcomes them. He receives them to himself. The people who don't like this are the scribes and Pharisees, right? The scribes and Pharisees, they are far too holy, far too noble to ever associate with that sort of crowd, with sinners of that magnitude. And in fact, they're offended that Jesus associates himself with some people who are a little rough around the edges. But that's exactly what Jesus comes to do. That is exactly why Jesus came. He came to seek that which was lost. He comes to find you. Jesus comes for you. You see, we are all God's creatures, each and every one of us, and that means we all belong to Him. The only issue is that we've wandered away. We've wandered off. Some realize that reality, and they are those who confess their sins. In faith, they admit that they have not done what they ought to do. You know, these people are sort of fit into the disciples of Jesus, those who had been following Him. And in fact, that's you. Because right at the beginning of our service, what did we do? We confessed our sin. But then there's the other wanderers. Those who have wandered away and live in denial. They live in denial of the fact that they have left God's side. In fact, maybe they don't even realize the danger that they're in. They're the ones who think they don't need a Savior. That they don't need to be found. That they don't need Jesus' forgiveness. Those are the unbelievers. Those are the Pharisees and the scribes from our text. See, here's the thing, though. This parable is for both types of wanderers. I don't know what your state in life is. Maybe, you know, you joined the church right before I started 2 years ago. I don't know what the state is. Maybe you've been going to church here for your entire life. Maybe this is your very first Sunday ever being here. But the truth is that this parable is for all of you. Those who know God has found you, and for those who don't think they need to be found. Or maybe far worse is those who don't believe they ever wandered away. So here's the tension in the parable. See, this is where it all comes together. In the first parable here, we have the shepherd who goes off to find his sheep. And upon finding his sheep, what does he do? He puts it on his shoulders. But the text does not say he goes back to the 99. The next thing we hear in this text is all of a sudden the shepherd is arriving back home. Well, did he go back to the 99? Did he lead all 100 back into town? Or did he just carry that one sheep back to his house? Jesus leaves this question unanswered. And he does it for a reason. He's calling the Pharisees and scribes out for their self-righteousness. For those who do not think they need a Savior, Jesus leaves this wide open. He's showing them their sin. Because for those who think they need no repentance, for those who don't believe they are lost, they're the ones who are truly lost. See, Jesus is alluding to a very specific question. And it's the same question posed for you this morning. Do you need to be found? You are a wandering sheep. But do you realize that? Are you self-righteous? Do you think that you are the epitome of Christian life? That you are the best human being who's ever lived? Or do you confess that you need to be found? Do you confess that you have left the safety of the shepherd's protection? Because that's what sin is. Every time we misstep, every time we make a mistake and we don't do what we know we ought to do, we take one step further away from God. We show that He is not our God and that we would rather follow false gods, that we'd rather leave Him behind and leave His protection. We wander from living the holy lives that God wants us to live as His holy people. So what do? Nothing. But instead, Jesus comes to find you. Whether you've wandered 10 steps away or 20 steps away or 100 steps away, whether you've been wandering away from the Lord your entire life, Jesus comes to find you today. When he does, what does he do? He gives you faith to realize that you have sinned, to repent and to ask him for forgiveness. And he rejoices. Jesus celebrates, for a lost sinner has confessed their need for a Savior. And that's exactly who Jesus came to be, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who finds you in your wandering, who finds you who are lost, and he puts you on his shoulders. He bears all of your weight. And he extends those arms on the cross. He bleeds and he dies for you, under your weight, under your sin, to announce that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. But that's why Jesus came. He came to find you. He came to bleed for you. He came to die for you. That way you might not be lost. Because what does he do? Upon putting you on his shoulders, he carries you all the way home to your heavenly home. He carries you all the way through to eternity. But that's the first parable. We don't want to shortchange the second one, do we? See, we have something similar that happens in this second parable, in the parable of the lost coin. We get another glimpse of who Jesus is. And so for just a moment, consider what you know about coins. Do coins think? Do coins move on their own? No. Can a coin realize when it's lost? No. But who feels the emptiness? Who feels the anxiety? Who feels the loss when there is the missing coin? It's the owner of the coin. It is Jesus who feels the anxiety. It is Jesus who feels like there is something missing. And it is Jesus who obsesses over finding it. My friends, you are the coin. And Jesus is literally obsessed with finding you. It consumes every fiber of his being. He wants to be with you more than anything else in the entire world. Not just for eternity, but right now. Jesus wants to be with you today and tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month and next year, all the way into eternity. He's obsessed with it. That is how much Jesus loves you. He searches for you diligently, always bringing you back to himself. And upon finding you, upon granting you faith in his death and resurrection, faith in the salvation that he offers you through his death and resurrection, he rejoices. For you are lost and are now found. And so know this. Every time you pray in faith, every time you confess your sins and receive forgiveness, Jesus rejoices with the Father and the Holy Spirit and all of the angels in heaven, for your sins are forgiven. My friends, today is a very special day in which Jesus will rejoice as well. Because on September 11th, 2016, Jesus feeds you. That's how the whole parable started, right? The Pharisees and scribes are upset because Jesus eats with sinners. That's all of us. And today the Lord has prepared a meal for you. A meal in which you will eat his body. A meal in which you will drink his blood. So boldly confess that you are lost. Because today Jesus finds you in this meal. Today, Jesus receives you even though you are a sinner. He is more than happy to associate himself with you, to seek you, and to find you. You are his lost sheep. You are his lost coins. And this morning there is great rejoicing in heaven because you were lost, but now you're found. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.